Okay, we have a very important question we have to deal with. Halacha Day of Perek Tes Zayin of Parshas Beshalach. What is that very important practical L'maisa question? What bracha do you make on man? What bracha do you make on man? The manna that falls from the heaven.
Yeah, motzi.
Right? You say hamotzi. Hamotzi what?
Motzi min
ha'aretz. Motzi min ha'aretz. Yeah. So that is that question is brought up. Some over the years have raised that question. First the question is: Do they make any bracha? Well, we do have a Gemara. What?
We just said brachas are rabbinic mitzvah.
We're rabbis
back in the
day. Yeah, but they. Oh, come on, that's not a. You should know by now that that doesn't stop us. First of all, besides that, it's a mefirish Gemara that they would make a bracha on the Gemara on man. That doesn't say. Not talking about the bracha Rishon, but talking about the bracha Achrona. The benching. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that Mem Ches Amud Beis that the brachos of benching were established by various people over the years. The first bracha was established by Moshe. And what were they eating? What was it? What was the food that Moshe established the bracha of Hazanas HaKol on? So it sounds like the mud, right? That they were eating the mud and they benched after the mud. Moshe wasn't alive after the mud stopped falling, so he was talking about the bracha that they would make on the mud, and that was the first of the Birchas HaMazon. Now we know that that doesn't necessarily solve Sam's problem, because Birchas HaMazon is a din d'oraisa, and the bracha Rishon is a din d'rabbanan. So that is true. However, it's a little bit more than just a din d'rabban, because the Gemara, if I'm going to just answer the question, I didn't prepare this. I believe the Gemara in the beginning of Ketzad Mevarchim discusses the source for bracha rishonos, first bracha, and learns it out like from a Kal Vachomer. Or learns it out from, well, just as we do it at the end, but one when we're full, we're also going to do it in the beginning. It's kind of learnt out from that, more than just a regular geder or rule that the Rabbanan added on. It seems like it was a little bit more of a deduction was used for it. But anyways, there is a further... It is discussed not just in the past, but also in the future. There is a medrash that the man is going to come down again. We're going to eat man. At what point? During the Suda de Mashiach. Right? They're going to eat the man along with the... Anyone know this for extra points?
Leviathan.
Very good. They're going to... At the meal that's going to be eaten with the Leviathan, they're going to eat the man. So it's not just a question of the past, but it's also a question of the Maisa going forward. So what bracha are they going to make when they eat that? So there was a kasha that I'm not sure exactly what the sefer is. There's a sefer called Torah Lishma, which are shayels or shuvas from the Ben Ishchai, but the answers are not signed by the Ben Ishchai. So it could be that he was the questioner in that book. I wasn't able to work that. I found the book on the source on Hebrew books. And the title page says Shiles and Tshuvas from the Ben Ishchai, but it doesn't. That's not the way. Doesn't seem to be that. That's the way the Tshuvas are recorded. It could be that he was the questioner for some of them, and the answer came from somebody else. Anyways, the questioner, which may or may not be the Ben Ishchai, asked the question and actually suggested in the question that maybe they won't make a bracha at all. Why there would be no bracha? We'll just do that now. Why would one think that there would be no bracha on making the bracha of man? So we actually had a Ramban in our learning. The Ramban earlier, what?
I have a guess.
Yeah.
Because if it comes from the heaven, then we don't need to remind ourselves that the food is coming from Hashem. It's so obvious that the food is coming from Hashem. There's no need.
That's a nice guess. I don't like it though. I have two problems with it. Number one is that, well. Yes, that might. Is it so obvious? Meaning, in the midbar, it might be the opposite is true. People got used to the food coming from the heavens, and the fact that that food can come from the ground becomes miraculous. Right, the opposite perhaps becomes true. But even more so, it's not brachos are not necessarily recognizing that they're from Hashem as much as thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's thanking Hashem. So why should there be any less thanks just because it's coming from Shemayim? But the I hear though the Ramban. However, we learned this Ramban. Points out that man is different than the slav, that the slav came flying in from some other place, while the man came from Shemayim. So what does it mean it came from Shemayim, that it's Ish Miayim, it came from out of nowhere? Well, that is the food that the Malachim eat. And B'nai Yisrael was then at the level of the Malachim. If they're being sustained by man, that's because they're then at the level of the Malachim. So perhaps that doesn't necessarily explain fully, but that perhaps is the source for Sfar to say, though maybe one would make a bracha, because it's not that it's obvious that it's coming from Shemayim, it's that that's just you're at the level that the thanks is not required. I'm not sure Malachim, we don't have an idea of Malachim thanking Hashem. We have an idea of Malachim praising Hashem. Honestly, I don't think we have an idea of Malachim thanking Hashem. So anyways, that is a perhaps the suggestion that is put forth as to why no bracha would be made. Now, what conclusion does the this person who answers the question in the Sefer Torah Lishma, what does he answer? So he quotes from a Sefer Mara Mipanu, who is not necessarily asking the context of Mun, at least the way he quotes it. He seems to ask the question in terms of the Suda in the future. Whatever they did in the past, they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu paskin the Shaila as to what bracha they should make on Mun. But what about in the future? Moshe Rabbeinu might not be there. So how are we going to paskin the Shaila as to what bracha we're going to make on Mun at the Suda de Mashicha? So he says, yes, what? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Hashemayim. That one who takes the bread from the heavens. Now, that he quotes that from the Marami Panu, and this person suggests, no, maybe not Motzi Lechem Min Hashemayim, but Mamtir Lechem Min Hashemayim. Why would you say Mamtir Lechem Min Hashemayim? Because that's actually the text in the Chumash itself. It's Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam that causes the man to fall from Shemayim. So that is the suggestion number two. So suggestion number one is maybe one wouldn't make a bracha on man, it wasn't necessary. But answer number two might be that that you say a bracha, but it's not a bracha that we would make. It's a bracha specifically designed for Mun. And then there's answer number three, that no, you make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Now, why do you make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz if it's not actually coming from the ground? Going once, going twice, anyone? Why would you suggest making the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz?
Like when it came down, how did they eat it? Didn't it hit the ground?
Well, it hit the ground. But
they took it off from it.
Yes, but if an apple falls off the tree, we don't make a Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz on it. Right? We take it because it comes from the tree. Yes. You're looking at me like, okay.
I'm trying to think through where
you're going. Yeah, so why, what would be a svara to say? What would be the logic to say that you would make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz?
Even though it didn't come from
the because it was like the dew, wasn't it? The dew was on the plants in the water.
Right. There's this whole thing about the dew, that there's it was dew under it and dew on top of it. Okay, so you still have a little bit of the question from, well, okay, but if an apple falls on the ground and dew falls on the bottom and top of it, you don't change the bracha. But this perhaps is a little different.
They didn't see it falling, right?
There's a different bracha.
They just saw it overnight.
Right, it fell overnight. So only if you set up your
infrared glasses
on a, what's it called, on a time
right.
A time lapse video going. Vlad Pransky likes to say that his son set up a time lapse video on their backyard overnight, and there were like five foxes and a deer comes through the backyard overnight. Yeah, he was able to catch a lot of interesting things. But anyways, there is a Sforno. The Sforno says, this is the Sforno one, also on our Perek Tesayin, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. I don't know if we did it that day, but the Pasuk there says, Vayhi Bayom Hashvi'i, Yetzumina Amel Kot Velo Matzah, that the people went out and they didn't find anything out there, right? Nothing came down. So the Sforno says, Lucky, V'zeh Haya Chil Shabbos B'li Safik, Ima Hayu Loktim Hadavri Malkum Gidilo. And if what if something would have fallen and they would have picked it off the ground, that would have been a malacha d'oraisa. What malacha d'oraisa would it have been?
Gathering.
Right. Gathering. Now, if I go around, you know, my kids make a mess in the living room, and on Shabbos we decide to clean up the living room, and we gather all of the Lego pieces, or we gather all of the Brio train tracks. Right? Is that a malacha on Shabbos?
No.
What do you need in order to violate the prohibition of gathering?
Has to be to use it for something.
Maybe. But even more than that, in terms of the object itself, it has to be gidulei karka. It has to be something that grows from the ground. And the Sforno suggests, it says, Ka'amrim, as the Gemara tells us, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Kuf Zayin Amud Beis is the daf that we got a couple of weeks ago. That's the lice daf also, where it talks about the lice, the spontaneous generation daf. So a couple, 20 lines down there, on that daf, it says, Haiman Talish Kshusa Mehizma Vihigi, which I don't really know what that means, but it's translated as the one who collects the hops from the, I forget what the term, did I write down what the terms were? No. Collects the hops from these green terms, which I wasn't sure what they were, the briar and the something like that. So if you pull the seed out of the inside, so then you're chayiv an shaz, chayiv mishum, oker davar migidulo. You're chayiv because you're taking something from where it grows. Now, it's unclear, because the Sforno actually seems to be saying that you would be chayiv for picking it up, not just gathering, but for picking it up. He seems to be associating with a different malacha. But what is his underlying assumption is that it's considered geduli karka. It's considered as if it's growing from the ground. How could it be going from growing from the ground? So it sounds like there might have been some growth or some kind of impact on it on the ground, at least in the opinion of the Sforno. So there is a sefer called the Sifsei Tzaddik, written by Rav Pinchas Menachem Justman. He was one of the early Gera Rabbanim. Sounds like formed an offshoot, but he suggests based on that therefore the bracha would be hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Based on this svarno, that's something that it is growing on the ground. So therefore, you would make the bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz.
Okay, growing on the ground. I didn't understand.
That is something I don't know either. But the svarno seems to be saying that you would be subject to a malacha d'oraisa, and for you to violate that malacha d'oraisa, it has to be something that grows on the ground. So he says, I'm not sure he explains the Sforno either, but if you assume like the Sforno's assumption, so then there's something that's happening when it's on the ground, in which case that would justify a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Okay? All right, good so far. So three options so far. No bracha. Number two would be bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Hashemayim, or the offshoot, Hamamtir Lechem Min Hashemayim. Okay? Number three would be the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. And number four would be
Shemayim and Aretz.
Shehakol
or Bori Minei Mezonos. Bori Minei Mezonos. Why would it be a bracha of Bori Minei Mezonos? Why does that help? So there is a sefer called the Chayyadam. Have you heard of the Chayyadam? Ray Greenstein probably quotes it a few times in the book, right? Chayyadam was dying in Vilna. I think he was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. I forgot to check. I think from that era, the Chai Adam was what was used to learn in yeshivas, to learn halacha before the Mishnah Berurah, before the Aruch HaShulchan, and before the world became Hasidish, and everyone started learning the Kisser Shulchan Aruch. The Chai Adam was the primary halacha book that was learned in Europe, in European yeshivas, and Lithuanian yeshivas. Sefer Chai Adam. So in Chai Adam, Klal Nun Aleph, number Yud Zayin, at the very end there, it says, Echad mehe mine dagan. He's not talking about man. But he's talking about, you'll see what he's talking about in a moment. Echad mehe mine dagan. Shegadl ba'atzitz she'inu nakav. What if you have one of the five grains, and instead of growing it from the ground, you grow it in a barrel? You grow it in a pot.
Hydroponics.
Right. So, hydroponic. Are you familiar with hydroponics? I looked up a little bit of hydroponics. I didn't quite get it.
Israelis developed it.
Yes, Israelis developed it. I mean, some claim that Nebuchadnezzar developed it. That's the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, might have been hydroponics. But it's possibly hydroponics, but this is not even hydroponics. Hydroponics seems like, to me, that it's grown off of water. This is not necessarily grown off of water. This is grown off of dirt like everything else. It's just not in the ground. Now, you are correct that this is a modern farming technique. What advantage do you get by growing something not in the ground? So there's a halacha advantage, and there's a there's a quasi halachic advantage. Big halachic advantage is you might not, although we assume that you're not allowed to do it on level of the rabbanon, but on level of the raisa, you're not chayav in shmita. That shmita is only things on the ground, not on the ground, but the rabbanon is a problem. But even more so, it keeps the bugs away. That perhaps it's a way of...
You have control of the environment.
Right, you're controlling the environment, so you have a greenhouse on top, and then the problem is they can get underneath. But if you put in, have the things grow in these long plastic things, so maybe that has the din of a sheino nakav. So the chai adam has this kasha. So what if you grow the five grains, right, out of a barrel, instead of... So what if you grow one of the five grains out of a barrel? So what bracha would you make on that? That's what Chai Adam wants to know. So Chai Adam suggests, Basu menu pas, Einu mevarech alav hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So Chai Adam says, you don't make a bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Rather, what bracha do you make? What bracha do you make? Why? So he says, Deinu nikra aretz, because if it's not growing out of the ground. And he bases it based on the Yerushalmi and Kalayim. I wasn't able to look that up. Ella, rather, Mavarich Alav, Borim Minei Mezonos. You make the bracha Borim Minei Mezonos, different types of food. It is five grains, it's not coming from the ground. So therefore, Borim Minei Mezonos fits a little bit better.
You know it's five grains because it says Lechem? How do we know it's five
grains? Well, that's what it is. But you mean no, I'm not talking about mud.
Oh.
Chai Yeldim is just saying, Akasha, I have a question. What if you grow wheat out of a barrel? What bracha do you make on it? Since you can't make the bracha of Motzei Lechem Min Ha'aretz because it's not coming out of the land.
Okay. He's
going to
listen
to you. Who's? Okay. We're talking about what bracha was made on mun. So if you have just regular wheat, the Chai Yadam says that's being grown out of a barrel, so you don't make a bracha of Motzei Lechem Min Ha'aretz, but it's not coming from the land. You're not telling the truth. So rather, you make the bracha of Borei Minei Mezonos. However, he does say, Mikol Makom Mevarech Alav Berachas HaMazon. Right? So that fits. They made a Berachas HaMazon on the mud as well. So then he continues on and says, and what about on them al pirus ha'ilan? What about if it grows from a tree, but the tree is not in the ground, the tree is in a pot? Tzarchin, imavarek bori pri ha'etz, imikri pri, begam imikri etz, right? So the question is, A, is it called a pri? And second, is it called an etz? Right? We don't know either one. So what bracha would you make on that? So that he leaves as a tzarchin, he leaves that as unsure about it, but with regards to the question of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, he says for sure we will not make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. So Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva about hydroponics, actually. The Chavadas Perek Achelik Vav Simon. I forgot to write down which Simon we're in. I think Nun Be someplace in that range. So Rav Avadya Yosef, however, quotes others that disagree. And he says, no, if it's growing out of the ground, one would make the bracha of the regular, whatever the regular bracha is. It's coming out of the ground. Now, it's not coming out of the ground, it's coming out of a pot that's in the ground. That was the question. But if it's in a pot that's in the ground, that's close enough. But what does that then sound like? If it comes from a pot that's not in the ground, so then it would go back to making some, either Borei Minei Mezonos, as the Chayyad, as the Chachma Sadam perhaps suggests, or maybe even he. Is not would say that you wouldn't do it in that case. Maybe he would say you make the bracha shahakol ni'abid varo if it's being grown, not in the ground. So that
the bracha has to include the word lechem in it because in the chumash it's called bread twice. Lechem.
Well, I mean, make a shahakol on jelly beans. The bracha doesn't include the word jelly beans.
But here it includes the word Hashem is calling it bread.
Okay, so.
Well, then we have to. So we have to make the when we make the bracha, we have to include the word lechem.
Why?
Because that's what it is. That's what it's calling it.
That's fine, but it doesn't. But it doesn't fit with the. But it doesn't fit with the. The bracha doesn't just say bread. The bracha is Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, and that
it's going to be Min Ha'aretz or Min Shemayim, Min Hashemayim. But it's got to be lechem. It can't be Mezonos.
Well, Mezonos is a form. Mezonos is food.
Mezonos is green, right?
Green.
Well, bread is green. Right. I mean, there's sometimes when you have a roll that's Mezonos.
Well, I don't want to go there because I don't think there's such a thing. But in theory, if you have a babka, right, you make a hamotzi lechem, you know, hamotzi babka min ha'aretz, we say Borei Minei Mezonos. So in theory, you can say Baracha Borei Minei Mezonos on this as well. Now, again, this the Chai Adam is not saying about, he's not talking about a bracha on mun. He's talking about a bracha on maybe hydroponics, but probably not. Just there's a different term for it. Just stuff that comes out of the
plant in water.
Yeah. So, anyways, so that is the so those are the four, or perhaps even five. Maybe you make a bracha of shahakol if it comes if on mud. So those are the four, maybe five, or maybe even six if you count the two motzi lechem min ha'aretz or mamtir lechem lo motzi lechem min ha'shamayim or mamtir lechem min ha'shamayim. So you have maybe six possibilities of what bracha they did and what you would in terms of the suda the mishicha, what bracha they would make. Now in terms of lamaisa bizman hazeh. Wait a second, this comes up. What bracha do you make on hydroponic vegetables? If you have a vegetable, now there's two questions about this. Number one is what you go to the store and are the hydroponic vegetables automatically listed? Are they not? I assume that they are still at this point.
They're not genetically modified, so I don't know if they have to be.
Okay, so that's question A. Question A is, let's say, or in 10, 15 years from now, or 20 years from now, or in Israel, there might be more of a likelihood that it would be not necessarily growing from the ground. So is that a concern about brachos? Maybe you would say, suffik brachos lahakel, you would say, lenient, or go with the shahakel velos common denominator. And then the second question is, what bracha would you make if you go to the hydroponic farm, and they pull one out for you and say, hey, this looks and tastes like a cucumber, you want to taste one? And, okay, so I'm going to taste one. So what bracha does one make on it beforehand? So there is a tshuva that's quoted.
They take the dirt from the ground and they put it in a pot. So it's still the same dirt.
Not hydroponics.
So hydroponics is not. Hydroponics is grown on top of water.
It's in water. They put all the nutrients in water.
Yeah.
So it's easy to harvest for one thing.
Right. So there is a tshuva that is quoted from the Sheva Halevi, which I wasn't able to find. They have one here, but I wasn't able to find it since the time I got here. But there is a tshuva that's written out in the Tshuva von Hagos. Tshuva von Hagos is Rav Moshe Sternbach, still alive today. He's Chelik Beis Simon Kuf Mem Tes. So he asks this question, Gidulei Mayim, Im Levarei Shahakol, Levarei Pri Adama. Things that grow from the water, do you make the bracha of Shahakol, or the bracha of Levarei Pri Adama? And he says this has somewhat been talked about. He quotes actually the truth from Fuzner. He says, but they asked me, V'sho'oloti, al-daiti, they asked my opinion, Banidon, V'einetzli Sfarim, Shemevi She'ochel Adam Bahem. I don't have Sfarim to, right now, it sounds like right now, to work it out. Amnam L'daiti Yish Levarei Pri Adama, Shenikrakein. He says, we would make a bracha of Levarei Pri Adama, because that's what we call it. Someone asks you, what is this that you're eating? You make a bracha on cucumbers. And if you would look up in the bracha, it's a cucumber. And if you look up in the bracha book, what is the bracha on cucumbers? Make the bracha ber pri adama. And even though this is not, it's not really a cucumber, or maybe it is, but it's not being grown the same way, still, that's what it's called. If you would ask a regular person on the street, what is this? They would say a cucumber. And therefore you would be... you make the bracha of Berei Pri Adama. It brings an interesting raya, interesting proof from the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos, where we have a prohibition. You're not allowed to take a shavua about something that is obvious. You're not allowed to say, I hereby take a shavua that it's raining outside. Right, so that's something that you're not allowed to do. But what about, the Rambam has the following case, the person takes a shavua, I take a shavua that the sun is bigger than the earth. So is the sun bigger than the earth? Yeah, you make the correct statement. Is that a shvua shav? So you just, it's not a shvua shav, because you have to have chachma to know that. If you ask a 3-year-old what's bigger, the earth or the tiny sun, that tiny ball that's up there in the sky, so they would say the earth is bigger, obviously. So because you need chachma for it, so therefore you could assume that it goes based on what it simply is. So this, you ask a person on the street, what is this? They'll say it's a cucumber. So therefore one could assume that that's actually what it is, that it's actually a, that it is a cucumber, and therefore you would make the bracha of Borei Pri Adama. Now, the question could potentially change in that what happens if the majority of vegetables, become something else, there's colonization on Moon or on the Mars or in the depths of the sea. I remember once going to Epcot Center when I was in third grade, and there was a whole thing about what if you're growing vegetables in that way, and everybody knows that's what it is. And if you ask a baby, you ask a 3-year-old, where do cucumbers come from? Rather than saying it comes from the ground, or rather than saying it comes from the shelf in Giant, they'll say it comes from our bathtub in the back of the house. So what if that then changes? So he says he would still make the bracha bar priyadama at she forsem l'chol echad kedivrei she'enam hayom priyadama v'lo mukhanan came. That until everybody realizes that that's not the case. Yeah.
According to the laws of brachas, she'akol is the proper for hydroponically grown vegetables.
Really?
Yeah, right. Yechaveda says that if you know that it's hydroponically grown, you would make the bracha of shahakol. He's suggesting that no, you would still make the bracha of Borei Pri Adama, meaning the type is the type, and that's the and that's the end of this. Well, not necessarily the end of the story, but that at least is the point in the story that we're up to today, right? So it's left up as a machlokas. So, but I think even I still notice on the Star case side, even though they quote Rav Avadya Yosef as saying that you would say a bracha of shahakol If you're at the hydroponics plant and you see them taking it out of the water, if you're in the store and you right, if you're in the store and you assume, you don't have to start checking as to where those things actually came from. Now he asks a question. He says, "Well, wait a second. Why is it? Isn't the Chai Adam against me?" Right, what did we figure it out? Isn't the Chai Adam against me? What did the Chai Adam say? Right, the Chai Adam suggested that if it's coming out of a barrel, you make the bracha of mezonos, you don't make the bracha of amotzis. So maybe the halacha, halacha seems to be changing there, why shouldn't it change here? So Rav Schirmbach concludes by saying that, well, not necessarily, a little bit different. When you say the bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz, you're asserting that this bread is coming from the ground. Hamotzi, you've brought bread from the ground. And that's simply not true. The bread is not coming from the ground. But if you say, Bori Mine Mizonos, or Bori Pri Adama, blessed is Hashem who creates things from the ground. So that's okay. Hashem creates things from the ground. It's just, this happens not to be coming from the ground. That's a little, you gotta work it out. I'm not confident to figure out what exactly is his distinction there. But he suggests that the Nishmas Adam would not necessarily be in disagreement with this. I would like to just one more extension on this. I thought we'd have more time to discuss this, but there is a big Hanukkah connection to this as well. Yeah. What is the big Hanukkah connection?
The oil.
The oil. What's the connection with the oil?
We have to get the olives.
You have to get the olives, okay? There's a famous question as to why do we celebrate Hanukkah 7 days? Shouldn't we only 8 days? Shouldn't it only be 7 days? Right, the first day wasn't necessarily a miracle. So Rav Chaim, what's one of the answers? So one of the answers to that question is, wrong page here. Right, so one answer is that there was only enough for one day, and the oil was only 1/8 of it was burned a day. Right, so that's as a friend of mine, Rabbi Josh Flug, referred to it in a shir he gave many years ago already. That's protracted combustion. It just took it didn't burn very fast. The second answer that the Beis Yosef gives is that they poured the oil from the flask into the menorah, and then they took the flask away. And the oil then came back. Spontaneous regeneration. Right? So that's answer number two. And answer number three is that they poured the oil into the lamp, and the lamp just didn't burn off the oil until the end. So, okay. So according to answer number two, you have a bit of a problem. Right? If I pour all of the oil into the menorah, and then I take the flask away, and then all of a sudden, miraculously, the flask gets filled up again, what is in the flask?
Miraculous oil.
Right. That's not olive oil. That's God oil. That's spontaneous oil. Right. So it says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, I have a problem with that second answer, because the din was, the halacha is that you had to use olive oil to burn in the menorah, and this isn't olive oil, this is God oil. So he had a problem with that second answer. There's some other ideas as well, kind of proving this point as well. There's a shla that talks about, actually we saw it in the one of the Orachaims that we learned recently, that the brothers of Yosef, when Yosef went and complained that they were eating Aver Minachai, so the brothers of Yosef said, no, we're not eating Aver Minachai, rather what was that they were eating? So one way we read it was, it was a machlokas about that they shechted it while it was still flopping around, they ate it, that whatever. One answer just is that they created that from the Sefer Yetzirah. Right? It was a golem calf that they were eating. Well, one of the brothers seemed to be assuming then that if you create a golem calf, that's not a calf, it's a golem calf. And therefore the laws of Aver Minachai don't apply. So that is a question that is that is a question that Rav Chaim raised that is out there. So, what?
That was the first answer.
But those are different answers. I mean, he's bumping out one of his answers based on that. So one answer just is that, well, they didn't pour the whole thing, and they poured in everything except for the end drop. And in fact, the oil was not Yeshmi. The Kli Chanda suggests that it wasn't Yeshmi Ayin oil. It wasn't oil that came out of nowhere. It was oil that generated out of a small amount of oil. So he says that this idea that it can't, that Rav Chaim's question, that question that, oh, it has to be real, it can't be godlike, he says, yeah, that's true, but if it's spontaneous, if it's coming out of that original drop, he says, that's okay. If there's a drop of olive oil, then all of a sudden that olive oil somehow expands, we don't call that God oil. That actually is still referred to as olive oil, which actually has a lot of ramifications for halachos today about laboratory-produced beef and things like that. Mm. Right? If you grow beef in a laboratory out of a cell of beef, so what is that? Is that meat? Is it not meat? Is it fleishik? Is it nevela? What is the status of that? So that that's part of the whole story. The story there. So there is a discussion with regards to mud. Right? The question about the question is how can one create? How can one say birchas hamazon on the mud? So Rav Yosef Engel suggests that one aspect of the miracle of the man, right? What do we know about the man? No, we don't necessarily know about it so much because the Torah says that there was a specific taste to the man. But something that you learn in first grade is that no, the man had
whatever taste you want.
And beyond that, so one question that everyone has: so could you have it taste like non-kosher food? That's one question. But a second question is, can it what? The second question is, now, did it still look like mun? If you had a hamburger, or a better case might be a steak, if you wanted to have a steak, so did it look like mun and just tasted like steak?
Yeah.
Or, or as that's the way it looks like in all the paintings, right? But as Rav Yosef Engel says, no, that's not true. It actually transformed into that. It actually turned into that food. So therefore, what does it mean that Moshe said that you would make the bracha, birchas hamazon, on man? He says, yeah, if they decided to taste like bread, so then it turned into bread, and Hashem said, and Moshe said, we'll make the bracha of hamotzi on it. But if not, that's still problematic. Wait a second, but it's still coming from mud. It's not bread. So that perhaps is a kasha against that assumption that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had. The general answer to that question is, based on the Ramban that we learned at the end of the bow, is that everything is miraculous. So what's the difference then whether it comes from olives or whether it comes from a nace? It's all really a nace anyways. But that's still an issue. It's still an issue how to resolve that that question. All right, so there's more to say on it, but I think we're out of time.
So we don't know the bracha that they made on Mashiach, right?
We haven't
come to
that. Well, I can give you six answers.
I know, but is there one resolution? Well, one preferred answer.
Which is your preferred?
How did they paskin?
Mashiach. Oh. What are you
going to
do?
What will I do?
Yeah.
Only the legal Mashiach.
I'm going to do it on bread.
That's what the Mishnah Berurah would say. You should have a regular piece of bread with you, and you can wash, make the bracha, mozilachim and aretz, and then you'll be yotze all the day. So, right? That's the way to solve the problem.
So there is no answer, basically. But,